Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Salvation semantics and metaphors. Salvation semantics and metaphors. And one of the profound things that we said was that a vital measuring parameter of spiritual growth is learning to say things the right way. I mean, even in the natural, as you grow in the natural, one of the things that marks that someone is growing is that they will begin to say things the right way. A baby will stop saying dada. It would migrate or grow into saying daddy fully. Do you understand? And one of the things we need to achieve, or we are meant to achieve through the teaching of God's word, is spiritual growth. You see, Philippians 1 verse 25 will be a good place to start this morning. Philippians 1 verse 25, I give you the context. Paul was about to leave, and he told the church in Philippi, he says, I have the option of going to be with the Lord, that means physically leaving this earth, and to also stay back on this earth. He says, in fact, for me to leave is more better, is more wonderful, but for me to abide with you is needful for you. So he says, therefore I am convinced of this, that I will abide with you, in verse 25. I have this conviction, I have this confidence, that I will abide with you for your furtherance and joy in the faith. So here, this is an example of a brilliant, loving pastor who having the option of either to go be with the Lord or staying back, he chose to stay back. He says, because it is better for me to stay back because that is needful for you for your furtherance and joy in the faith. Now, the word furtherance there is from the Greek word prokope. It means advancement. It means, you know, profiting. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 15, it is translated as profiting. So Paul decided that it is better for him to stay back for the folks in Philippi to grow, to further their spiritual growth in the faith. And if that is his expectation in the church, then how is he going to do it? Through teaching. And if teaching is going to be how he's going to do it, then there must be a curriculum system of teaching. Because like a school, if I want to grow you spiritually and my material for growing you spiritually is the word of God, then if my expectation is that you grow spiritually like Paul intended for the church in Philippi, then there must be a curriculum system of teaching. That's why we do series. So I must say, okay, this month, this is what I want to achieve in my teaching. So I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It's like when you go into a gym, you tell the gym instructor, I want to resume to gym, and they ask you, what do you want to achieve? You see, a lot of you, like myself, we look so skinny because we don't have a gym coach yet. You never can tell how muscular we can be until we get a good coach. Because everybody has muscles, but not everybody is muscular. Come on, talk to me. All you need is the right coach, the right diet. You never can tell the extent of your ability until you get the right coach. How many of you here, when you were little, you were enrolled in a school and it looked as though you were dull, maybe in mathematics or something, until they transferred your parents to another state, or until you changed school, and all of a sudden you got brightened up? I don't know if you can testify. Can you see hands up? Why? Because the teacher changed. Come on, talk to me. So you really never can tell what you are capable of until you get the right coach. And that's why, in the case with Paul, to the church in Philippi, he says, I desire to be with you all for your furtherance, for your prokope, your advancement, your spiritual growth. And if that is his expectation from the church, then he must be deliberate about it, as much as the congregation too must be deliberate about wanting to grow. That means from the teacher's standpoint, he must have what I will call, you know, a system of teaching, a curriculum system of teaching by saying, you know what, okay, I want to achieve this in this month. Next month, I want to achieve this. That's why we do series teaching. That's why we do teachings in series, to emphasize a truth and say, okay, if you've been following for this month, you should have gotten this one at least to a reasonable point. We can visit it next year again. That's why we do cyclic curriculum system of teaching in this church. So this month, for instance, we want to teach you how to say things the right way. Like, you cannot say, I gave my life to Christ. It is better to say, I have received the life of Christ. Amen? Because you are trying to, because you want to ensure you are emphasizing what the Bible emphasizes. So we're looking at another powerful one today. It's something a lot of preachers themselves find as a conundrum, or perhaps haven't realized that it is quite misleading. And it's just because they aren't mindful of the semantics. You see, when we're talking about semantics, we're not just talking about, in the context of teaching now, we're not just talking about people being oblivion or living in oblivion or being oblivious of semantics, but in some cases also stretching semantics out of proportion. So, for example, you hear things like the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. How many of you have heard the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit? Amen? But let us even check what it's all about. Let's turn in our Bible to the book of Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5. Are you there? Come on, come on, come on, come on. If you're there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Galatians 5 and verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. Then he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. Then in verse 25 he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm going to talk about that in second service. But let's just focus on this. Now let's go to the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12. And verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, I want you to pay attention to the reading. To one is given by the Spirit, by what? Come on, follow me. By what? Spirit. By the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To one is given word of knowledge. Word of knowledge means the ability to be able to tell by the Spirit what is happening now and what has happened by the Spirit. You see me operate in that a lot, even last week, right? You know, sometimes what people call prophecy, prophesy, papa, sometimes it's because you have not learned to say it well. Prophecy or prophesying simply means divine utterance. To build, exalt, and to what? Edify the era. That's all. So word of knowledge can serve that purpose. Word of wisdom can serve that purpose. Are you following what I'm saying? But a lot of people think prophecy simply means he prophesied to me. That means he told me everything about me. Fine, but there is a better way to say it. See, these are some of the things. These are by the wayside. That's not where we're heading today, but I just want to point some things to you as we go, because I know that in most climes, Sunday services are not usually designed to impart knowledge, but it is not so in this church. As much as we desire to meet needs, see, as I'm talking right now, I'm feeling the power of God. I'm telling you, it's just all over me. Praise God forevermore. And in fact, there's a lady that just came with a pain on the shoulder. You know, this shoulder, this side of your shoulder, there's a pain there. You just got healed now. Check it. You see? There's a pain on the shoulder. So you see, yeah, that's it. So the point is, I want you to know that as much as we want to meet needs, we want you to go. How many of you were in second service last week? Let me see your hands up. Second service. Did you do what I asked you to do? You went to listen to the first service tape. It's so important because the miraculous, the demonstration of the Spirit has a purpose to point you to the message. Amen? And so you must go home with the message. You must have learned something so important. So now, just as a wayside teaching to what we are teaching, did you notice he says to one is given word of knowledge? Then he says to one is given what again? Come on, talk to me. What again? Word of wisdom. Now, word of wisdom. Wisdom here is not just application of knowledge. Wisdom is, you know, I understand that it has been defined that wisdom means, you know, application of knowledge. True, to some extent. But you see, scripturally, wisdom has to do with ability to preempt the future. So, word of wisdom here means to receive a word about what is about to happen in the future. So, word of wisdom means ability to speak, haven't been revealed to about the future, telling you things that is to be. That is word of wisdom. Then you have again what you have. Come on, what's the next thing? Come on, word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Then he says to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, faith in this place, he's not talking about faith that comes by the hearing of God's word. Here he's talking about faith imparted within a span of time to operate magnanimously in the Spirit. It's called the gift of faith. I've had this operate in my life a lot of times. I remember there was a day I was going to cross over and I just saw this guy with a tiny leg begging for money, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And I was just supposed to give him money. And as I was about to give him money, the gift of faith came upon me. And now I'm even trying to be apologetic in this statement. The gift of faith came upon me, not right. Now, let me say this to you. He says to one is giving word of knowledge. One is giving. It is you, for example, healing. It is you receiving the healing that actually receive healing gifts. I am not the one who have the gift. A gift is something you give another. So I am not the one who have the gift. I know that there are some things that for ecumenical reasons, and just because you want to carry a lot of people along, you want to talk in some way. Just like Jesus, they told him Lazarus is sick. He says that sickness is not unto death. Then after several prolonged time, someone said, don't trouble the master anymore. He's dead. Then Jesus told the disciples, let's go and wake our friend that is sleeping. And the disciple says, Master, shake the wine on his knee. If he was sleeping, that would be okay. Somebody would have raised him up now. Then Jesus says, I mean, let's go and raise him back from the dead. So Jesus had to come down at some point to their level because when Jesus said, let's go and wake Lazarus that was sleeping, Jesus knew that sleeping to him, Jesus was going to see physical death as sleep, common sleep. Come on. So he knew how to define and to refer to things right. But sometimes when you are in a community of people, sometimes we want to form this adaptive feature, but we have to be careful to know when not to cross the line. So that in our attempt to want to woo them, we don't end up becoming like them. Are you following what I'm saying? So for instance, now when I say I have the gift of healing, when I say, okay, let me give you an instance. If I walk up to an individual and I say, I have the gift of healing, the first thing the person thinks I am saying is, wow, he has the ability to heal the sick. Amen? Isn't that the generic thing everybody would think? But scripturally, it's not so. It is the person who got healed through me that received the gift of healing. I only have the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means Holy Spirit as the gift. I have the Holy Spirit in me as the gift. And through me, I heal the sick. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? Now, it looks like it's one and the same. It is not. This is the whole essence of this teaching series. He says to one is giving the word of knowledge. So it is the one who received the word of knowledge who received the word of knowledge gifts. The Spirit in me and high yielding to him only made word of knowledge available to the recipient. These are not just mere semantics. This also proves that you have learned to say things the right way. I know there are some things that we may not be able to change till Jesus comes. But you see, we must attempt at most, we must attempt to be deliberate about our spiritual growth. And speech, how we condone and what we say with how we say what we say, is a vital pointer to spiritual growth. That's why this teaching is so important. Are you following what I'm saying? So let me just brush off with definition of these things. Take for example, we've spoken about faith, right? Let's go on. It says to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, did you notice something is consistent by the same Spirit? That's why he kept saying by the same Spirit. Because the same Spirit that is responsible for healing is responsible for word of knowledge. It is the same Spirit. So the one through whom those things are ministered has the Spirit working through them. The one receiving it is the one receiving the gifts of it. So the one ministering is not the one who has the gifts. So I don't say I have the gift of healing, which generically is perceived to mean that I have the ability to heal the sick. No, I have the same Spirit, the Spirit in me, and through me, he can heal the sick, give word of knowledge, give word of wisdom. Now, what does this mean? It means that every believer can open themselves to any of these gifts. That's why he ended up by saying in verse 13 that we have all drunk in together into one Spirit. See, I know this is going to step on your theology. It means every believer, say every believer. I didn't hear you say it again. It means every believer has the potentiality to open themselves to any of these manifestations of the Spirit. Someone says, so what now separates the believer from quote unquote ministry gifts? Very simple. What separates the head from the hand? Role. What separates the husband from wife? Because the husband is more human being. Is the wife half human, half fish? Come on, talk to me now. They are one and the same. But the difference is by spiritual divine role, the husband is counted to be the head. If you enter into a car, you are headed for Lagos. What separates you and the driver? Role. The driver is the driver. And if you want to get to Lagos in peace, not in pieces, you must let the driver drive. You can't strangle the steering with him. Come on. Why are you a woman? Why am I a man? Woman, womb man. You are a man, but you have womb. I don't have womb. So by natural selection, you carry baby. Forget those ones that are confused. Say they are transgender. Those ones are confused. So a woman should not struggle to do what a woman should do. Come on. It's just role by divine selection. And honor simply means to see things the way it has been assigned to be seen. That's all. Listen, Miles Monroe says, abuse is inevitable when the purpose of a thing is unknown. If I don't know the purpose of this handkerchief and I begin to cling with it, I am dishonoring this handkerchief. If I use my teeth to be sweeping the ground, not use it to tear meat and to chew food, I have dishonored the teeth. Dishonor simply means not to accrue the right definition, not to give the right placement to a thing. So you dishonor your husband as a wife, for example, when you don't see him as your head. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you learning something today? All right. So all these things are what we call the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we've spoken about the gift of the Spirit. Now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit as well. So, okay, let's finish it. He goes on, to another working of miracles. What is miracle? I've told you, miracle simply means alteration in the course of nature. You turn water to wine, that's a miracle. Miracle does not only mean when somebody had a broken bone and then it was instantly healed. Instantly healed. Healing simply means recuperation of a bad or worn out body tissue or health or whatsoever. It means to restore back a former situation to the normal. A situation that has gone abnormal, you bring it back to normal. It doesn't even have to be healing in the sense of bodily healing. For example, the first time the word heal was mentioned in scripture, it was when God turned the bitter water to sweet water. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, they were expecting to drink water, children of Israelites, and then they got to a place, the water of Marah. The water was bitter. And the water was made sweet. And that was how they said, I am the Lord, Jehovah Raphiga, the one that healed you. Why? He healed the water. So your finances can be healed.
Yes,
are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
your relationships can be healed.
Yes,
come on, talk to me.
Yes,
your health can be healed. So that is the meaning of healing. Then he says to another, miracles. Miracles simply means alteration. Now, the difference between miracle and healing is, why healing is restoration to normal, miracle is alteration of normal. For example, how could Philip run before the chariot of Ahab onto Jezreel? I mean, Elijah, beg your pardon. The same thing with Philip anyway. How could you jump into a moving chariot? A chariot is like Bugatti. You know, chariot is like Bugatti of those days. Do you know that highly respected machines, they are measured with a certain SI unit, or not necessarily SI units. They use horsepower nowadays, true? It's not new. Horsepower is derived from horsepower. Come on. Because those days, chariots were made with horses. Ticking, 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 ticking. Now imagine, tick, 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 and then you stood like this, and then you jump into a moving chariot. Poof. And then you saw the guy reading Isaiah. And say, understandest thou what I readest? And the guy say, how shall I know? Except someone show me. Then he says, but who does the writer speak of? Kai, I feel pity for this man. Hi. Like a sheep, he was taken to the slaughter. Nobody could fight for his cause. Ha. We shall continue his generation. Ha. Who is this man that the prophet speaks about? Then the Bible says, and Philip from that moment preached to him Christ. Now, he jumped into a moving chariot. Even Lagos Agbero can't try it. That's the spirit of might.
Yes,
amen?
Amen?
I said amen?
Amen?
That's a miracle. You alter nature. For example, the sons of prophet needed to get a new apartment because where they were is too small for them. Just like as we are now, praise God. Where we are is too small for us. And then they were going to cut tree, and then the axe they went to borrow, although we are not going to borrow.
Yes,
say loud, amen to that.
Yes.
The axe fell into water. And just like naturally speaking in physics, water does not have that density to receive metal. The density of a metal is stronger than that of water, true?
Yes, sir.
Now, so water gave in, and the metal went straight down into the deep. And then the sons of prophets cried, "Master, save us, we borrowed it." Then the prophet came, Elisha, and says, where did they fall down? Where? He said, "It's somewhere around here." And then he cut just a little stick from the tree and threw it there. And then the Bible says the axe head floated. That's a miracle. Now, that's walking of miracles. I don't want to explain. There's walking of miracles where you walk it. For example, you can see, like our last special miracle service, there are some persons that, you know, I want to work a miracle. I'll say, "Do like this, do like this." Then I'll say, "Do like this." Then I blow hair. I'm walking miracles. Sometimes you see Jesus made, clay of sputum, and then he spit on it. And then he put and says, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." That is working of miracles. Amen? Working of miracles. You're working it by the Spirit. Those are working of miracles. Those are activity that the Spirit inspires to effect a miracle. For example, you can be in a service like this, and then we say, "Let us dance." And then the Spirit of God just tells you to dance. You're just dancing by the Spirit. Just dancing by the Spirit. And then the next thing you realize that the growth has disappeared. That is working of miracles. That's what the Bible says. Whatsoever you do in words and in deed, do in the authority of Christ. In the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. So the activity of the Spirit inspired. How do you explain that they went to go round the wall of Jericho for 6 days, and on the seventh day, all they did was shout, and the wall of Jericho came down? That's a miracle, bro.
Yes,
see, when we talk about wall of Jericho, go and study it. See, Bible theologians, all right, and archaeologists, they told us that the wall of Jericho was so wide that it can take two moving lorries opposite each other. It's not this kind of wall. The fence in your house, that's not the kind of wall they do in those days. Because those days, fences were a way of protection. Praise God. So it wasn't even like the wall fell. Because if the wall fell, the mass it will still amass on the floor is still enough to be a fence. Don't forget, Rahab's house was on the fence. The fence is so large that someone could build a house on the fence. Are you following what I'm saying? So, it was a miracle. It wasn't really falling. It was implosion. The earth opened up and take it. It disappeared. That's a miracle. And how could that happen? Just by shouting. Now, that shouting, go and shout over your own wall and see. It's called working of miracles because the Spirit inspired it. You know, I was listening to a great teacher of faith that I love so much. You know, there's this fine preacher of faith that I love so much. His name is Creflo Dollar. You know, he was sharing many years ago how that there was a day he came back from college, and that I think one of their relatives was with them. And for some reasons, I think a metallic coin of whatsoever went into the ear, and she could feel the coin in her ear. And Creflo just came in. Now, you know, medically, that could only be taken away surgically. And that would be a major surgery. Then Creflo Dollar just, by the Spirit, took the child, took the person, took the lady, took that relative of his, and then he took a jar of water, turned the ear this way, and poured water in the ear, and blew out, and the coin flew on the other side. Now, don't try that. It's called working of miracle. Because medically speaking, because he's a medically inclined person, so he knows that should be dumb to do, to pour water inside, pouring water in someone's ear. He's a medically inclined individual, so he knows that would be a dumb thing to do medically. But because the Spirit inspired it, it gave birth to miracle. So sometimes it can be when we are dancing, when we are singing. Every activity of the Spirit has the potentiality to yield miracles. So the working of miracles can be done. So don't limit the working of miracles to just one string. By the Spirit and through the Spirit, it can say, "Give a offering." Are you getting what I'm saying? It's called the move of the Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this is called, it says to one is given the working of miracle. So the you that did or worked the miracle, you are the one that worked the miracle, or you are the one that received the miracle, but the individual through which that miracle happened is not the one who received the miracle. So you don't say, I have the gift of working of miracles. You have the Holy Spirit as the gift who works miracles through you. I know that they are one and the same, and you can say it and mean the same thing, I understand. But don't forget the purpose of this teaching. You know, I began by telling you that when you want to grow, there is always a growth program. And you say, this month I want to learn this. That's why in school, they will tell you, in this session, this semester, these are the courses you are taking. Right? They don't say, okay, you want to study computer science, then they teach you everything in one semester. You crash. So they take you one step at a time. Amen? I said amen? It's called the working of miracles. All right. I've never even started teaching, but no problem. But are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's go on. Don't forget, our teaching today is not the gift of the Spirit. We are only talking about semantics. But I just needed to just give a thing. Do school of ministry. I explain this thing and even practicalize this thing. Our next school of ministry is next year, right? Sometime in May, so get ready. Then he goes on, he says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. You know what prophecy is, right?
Yes, sir.
Divine utterance. To another, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. So, what does it mean? Discerning of spirits means the ability to see and to hear in the spirit. Typical example, last week, second service, you saw that, right? How can you call almost 20 people and give them forensic prophecy? Like, this is you, this is what you do, right? We were in church second service last week, right? That is, you know, you know, prophetic in office, in play. So, that's discerning of spirit, beg your pardon, in play. That means the ability to see and to hear in the spirit. And that happens a lot with the ministry of the prophet. But every believer has the potentiality. It's just like almost everybody, let me say everybody. Everybody can cook. True? Answer me now. Everybody can cook now. At least you can boil egg. I can dance, at least. I don't know if you know, I can, at least some of those steps, you know, of those days, you know. And then they got to, you know, those days. I can dance. But if Joy contacts with me, I would just say, no. Joy is the professional dancer. Do you get the point? I can sing. I don't know if you know I sing. Even though I have many keys. And I don't know how to place the key the right place. Amen? But when Pastor Sandra begins to sing, I have to say, all sister, you know, Anne, I just step back, or Godfrey, or any of our music ministers, I know I don't have that. I'm not even get what I'm saying. It's two different things. Every believer, like we all have muscles, but are we all muscular? Come on, talk to me. So every believer has the potential for this flow of the spirits. But those who are operating in certain offices that would need this move or this working of the Spirit for their office, they will have it often because they will be needing it to meet needs consistently. Because all of these abilities, they are for ministry, not for personal use. So the one who has or is giving the word of knowledge is not the one through whom the word of knowledge happens to that is receiving it, is to someone else. They are tools for ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? So he goes on to say, the sign of spirit to another, diverse kind of tongues. Now, diverse kind of tongues here is different from praying and speaking in tongues to God or in prayer. Here it has to do with tongues as it regards to message, as it regards to ministry. That's why he went on to say that you know, in verse 30, that do we all have the gift of tongues? Do we all have the gift of tongues? That means the ability to speak in tongues. He says no. That means we do not have the ability to all give message in tongues. That is different from praying in tongues. These signs shall follow them that... So that one is for every believer. But there is the one where you speak in tongues and you need to interpret it as a message to the recipient. So these are different things, and these are what we call the gift of the Spirit. Someone said the gift of the Spirit. Now look at what he now says in verse 11. He says, but all this worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to everyone severally as he will. The self-same Spirit. So after listing all this, then he now goes on to say in verse 12, for as the body is one. Now, can you see in the same context? As the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, hallelujah, by one Spirit we have all drank. That means we've all been identified to that same Spirit. So we all have the potentiality to have all of these things expressed through us to others. This is what we call the gift of the Spirit. True? Come on, talk to me. True? So the gift of the Spirit are simply the manifestation of the charismatic ability in the believer's life by the influence of the Spirit. Why the fruit of the Spirit are simply just moral rectitude that a believer exudes again by the influence of the Spirit. Don't forget, Ezekiel 36, talking about salvation, it talks about how that he will put the Spirit within us, take away the stony heart, and he will cause us to walk in his statute. So the gift and the fruit of the Spirit are just metaphors used to express certain characters of the Spirit that a believer should exude by the influence of the Spirit. So they're just one and the same. There's a metaphor. It's just semantics. So a Christian should not say, well, I want the gift, I don't want the fruit. No, you must eat everything on the table. A Christian who prophesies, heals the sick, work miracles, should also depend on the same Spirit to walk in gentleness, to walk in kindness, to be able to shut up when he hurts you. Come on, talk to me. These are just, you know, displays. These are just, you know, what I will call the outcome of the Spirit's influence in the believer's life. So they are one and the same. I understand that we try to separate them for the sake of teaching, but theologically, both the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit are simply carried out by the influence of the Spirit. In other words, charismatism and morality are both what we exude by the influence of the Spirit, and therefore a believer ought to give room to them. A believer ought to display them. A believer ought to exude them by the same Spirit. This is so important because it helps you to, you know, correct the wrong notion that as for the fruit of the Spirit, you have to work hard, but as for the gift of the Spirit, you have it anyway. No, listen, they are all by the same Spirit. That's why the advent of the Spirit has changed everything. So as a Christian, open up yourself for all of this. Eat everything on the table and be an effective Christian. Say loud amen. Amen. So don't say, well, you know, that's why you find Christians. How can you be a Christian and you have never, in the last 5 years of getting born again, you have never healed headache? You have never attempted to preach the gospel to get someone saved and have them speak in tongues? You haven't. How? It's wrong. You say, well, me, I don't have the gift, but I'm working on the fruit, brother. I'm working gentleness, brother. Yes, the same Spirit that makes you walk in gentleness, love, kindness, goodness is the same Spirit that causes you to walk miracles. Don't separate them. So, as a Christian, the gift of the Spirit, even though a separate or a different semantics is used to refer to miracles, all those things, and another different semantics or metaphor rather is used for working in gentleness, all of those things, they are one and the same. Holy Ghost doesn't only make you speak in tongues and work miracles. He also teaches you to keep short, also keeps you to mind your business and stop being cho-cho-cho-cho-cho-cho-cho, gossiping, looking for trouble, fighting, all those things. It's the same Holy Ghost, bro. Don't be they know her. Have you seen people who can pray, who can work miracles, can see angels, oh, glory, and then they keep malice, they fight, they cause trouble. Or everybody on the block, is nobody crossed their mind, they are laid away. They say, no near her, oh, she's jagun jagun. Bogumi. Boti jad. Amen? No, the same Holy Spirit that helps you flow in healings, miracles, should also teach you and help you to learn to zip up. Even when you are obviously in a tempting situation. And by the grace of God, I can proudly say God has helped me in some of those areas where in a tempting, it's the same. And let me tell you one thing. Let me just give you one key point. Let me just tell you one thing. And please, don't record this, all right? Holy Ghost helps you to zip up. The same Holy Ghost does not help you to see ladies as ladies, not bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you because your word has come to us, and then we, by the Spirit and through the Spirit, we live in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. And the church says a big, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.